From St. Anthony Parish, Alston, Massachusetts.
Today's gospel is the famous parable of the prodigal son. Like many popular parables, this one is often misinterpreted and even simplified, so the deeper message is lost. In order to understand it, we need to know that many will tell you that the story has three characters. It actually has four, and we'll address the fourth in a few minutes. We know the basics of the story. The younger son demands his inheritance and goes off by himself to live a bohemian lifestyle. In the process, he flies through his money and partying and loose women until he has nothing. It reminds me of the Willie Nelson song, "If you have the money, honey, I have the time. When you run short of money, I run short of time." This is what happens to him, but look more closely. He's working with pigs and does not even have enough money to buy food. That means he's completely rejected, ostracized from the Jewish community because the Jews will have nothing to do with pigs. Notice he can't even buy food for himself, and no one cares about him. And it's possible that he is homeless and living with the pigs because he has nothing else. This means he's been completely rejected by everyone. Father Rufus Pereira used to teach that the greatest pain we may suffer is abandonment. Hence why Jesus says on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me?" This man is completely abandoned by everyone. The one who had the whole world in his hands through his money is now abandoned, forgotten, and nobody cares. Now he returns to his father's home just to live as a hired hand. Imagine he is in Gentile territory and returns to Jewish territory. How many farms did he pass on the way? And he could have easily, apparently, hired himself to any one of them. But obviously not. He's completely rejected. One of the images that pops into my mind, if you remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life, if you remember that scene where when George is living what would happen if he never existed, and they find Mr. Gower, he's in the bar, and Nick, the bartender, starts spraying him with water and get that rummy dummy out of here. That's the image I have of this other son. He's been abandoned by everyone. He's the guy who was hated, rejected, chased off. The one who you see sleeping on the Boston Common alone, and everyone chases him off their property. He is no more than a thing to get rid of, like bugs. When he returns to his father's home, his father alone sees him as a son. Remember I told you there was a fourth character. The fourth character is the servant who stirs everything up with the other brother because the servants don't want him back either. And this gets the other brother angry. And so the father alone sees what no one else can see, the son he loves. They see nothing else. He sees right into his soul and sees a humble, repentant man who learned a painful lesson. He experienced the worst of all pain, being abandoned by everyone. He's repentant and asked for help. Now there's the next step. We know that this is how our Father in heaven looks at every repentant sinner, no matter what he or she has done. But as the father in the parable tries to instruct the son to understand his mercy, so God tries to instruct us to understand his mercy as well. When the repentant sinner walks through that door, he must always be welcomed into the community. Because if we are channels of God's grace, we will not only be a welcoming community, but a healing parish. This does not mean that we're naive. However, that is the point. When people are in trouble, where do they come? They come to the church, because that's where you will find the Father. You and I are his representatives. He calls us to have his vision. We need to discern from the repentant sinner to the manipulative one who wants to take advantage of us, and that is why we have to be cautious, or we'd welcome the prodigal son in his selfish, unrepentant, manipulative stage. But remember, all of us need the mercy of God, and we can only find it ourselves if we are repentant, and we need to extend the mercy of God to the repentant as well. And when we do, we become channels of God's healing mercy, and that's what we are all about. We need to understand that people may enter that door looking for the mercy of God, and they must find it in our parish. And the more we seek to be a holy community, the stronger and more healing this parish will be. The more we risk the most for welcoming broken people to this parish, the more that we will realize the mercy of God as they will realize the mercy of God, and the more powerful this parish becomes. This parable not only reminds us that God's mercy is ours, even if we are not as bad as the prodigal son, but that the prodigal son or daughter may be present in this parish right now, and we need to be representatives of God's mercy to him or her. Remember, every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. The world has no concept of this. Because of it, those in the world will end up eating themselves. Many who do not believe in forgiveness, only justice. Forgiveness without justice is naivete, but justice without forgiveness is tyranny. Every Catholic parish must be a place that can properly balance justice and mercy to a point that we become channels of God's healing power. We can only come to that point by being people who seek holiness. And the more we seek holiness, the more we become channels of God's healing love. And that is our call, so that each and every one of us, as repentant sinners, can welcome every repentant sinner through that door, so that everyone finds the healing love and mercy they need, because we become, as a parish, channels of God's mercy.